Don't miss the OTR Super Sprint, SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park, 24th to the 26th of August. Get your tickets at thebend.com.au.
Ruined dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Hey.
Hello, Lemo.
Hey, Lemo.
Always good to join you guys on a Monday. I would never miss it unless I'm hungover like last week. I would never miss it, guys. No. Hey, any tension between you two this morning? Is everything okay?
No, we're all fair. Ditz has paid his debts. Yeah. He paid me a bottle of Molly Duca for the losing.
Bloody $100 bottle.
Yep. Hey, I tell you what, the two showdowns this year, possibly the two best games of the entire season.
Yep. And we're not surprised, mate. We love our footy over here.
Oh, I tell you what, unbelievable. And, Roo, can I just give you a nod, mate, on the boundary line on the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Were you dressed as a goal umpire? Did I see you working the goal line late in the game?
What?
It's every chance.
Was that you working as a goal umpire in the last quarter?
I wasn't touched at all. I don't know what you're talking about. I did at the post.
Because I looked up and I saw the goal umpire all of a sudden had a goatee and I thought, what's going on? What's going on here?
Actually, I was a goal umpire Saturday morning at the under-8s at Burnside v. Ross Trevor.
Any controversy there or not?
Well, I did miss a couple of flag waves because I was talking on the phone.
See, there we go. I reckon it was Roo working as a goal umpire. But you, of course, were working for Triple M there, Roo, down on the boundary line and they crossed to you during the last quarter. This is when the Crows hit the lead, and yeah, tough for you. You're on the board. It's tough to be impartial, but let's have a listen to Roo when the Crows hit the lead. There we go. Oh, that's nice and impartial there. Yeah. And then, of course, immediately straight after the final siren, they crossed down to Roo again. Let's have a listen. Really good. I tell you what, Roo, your interview with Josh Jenkins, mate, the other day, I was looking at you two thinking, God, get a room. You were 1 inch off having a cuddle, mate, you two.
I thought he was about to win his first showdown medal. Well, you've got to be excited for him.
I thought you were actually going to kiss at one point.
Oh, come on, Lemo.
How's Josh Jenkins? He'd be a terrible poker player, wouldn't he? No, I reckon it hit the post.
Nana told me not to lie.
Nana told me not to lie.
I think it hit the post.
Oh, I tell you. And say, is it true that you were banned from the port rooms?
Yes.
They wouldn't let you down into the port rooms?
Yes, it was. On Friday that happened. Yeah.
I've seen Roaming Brian in the port rooms. And Dits, come on, fess up. They let anyone into those rooms. They let anyone in.
Can I tell you, that ban on Roo, it's for life. Wasn't just the weekend, it's life.
It's life.
Right. And Dits, does it extend to Port home games just getting into the ground?
Probably.
He's not allowed now, suburb.
Bit rough now, just trying to earn some money for pay the bills.
Pay the bills, just stay afloat. I know you're struggling, Roo, and we'll pass that around for you later. Hey, but Roo, though, the Crows can still make the finals.
Just?
The Crows can. I had, last week we had that Aussie guy on Friday won the Fields Medal, which is the equivalent of the Nobel Prize for Mathematics.
Right.
It was an Australian won that last, presented in New York. Yeah. Well, I've been in touch with him over the weekend and I said, mate, how can the Crows still make the finals? Is it mathematically possible?
He
said, yes, it is. He said, yes, it is. If they win every game between now and round 35...
Come on,
should get in fairly comfortably.
Just because your mob started winning again. Jeez, you're in the Hawkers. Top four for a bit.
I wasn't going to bring them up, but since you did. Mate, we were sitting third on the ladder. I spent 4
Amazing
hours
what
Saturday.
Happens when you have a cup of coffee with the CEO of the league, isn't it? You start getting even more free kicks and start winning even more games.
Yeah. Well, go and have a coffee then, you idiot. And sort it out. Hey, and Dits, of course, you were in the commentary box on the weekend for Triple M.
Yes.
And Dits, I love that you love the Triple M listeners so much that you listen to their requests. Their request was that they hear less of you, and you deliberately lost your voice during the game.
Yeah.
So that was
I put in.
Nice. And here's Chris Dittmar's post-match analysis from the game on Saturday. Right on the money there, dude.
There are a few poor people crying a little bit at the moment. Yeah.
Hey, geez, Ken Hinckley lost the plot, didn't he, in the post-match presser too?
Hang on, he spoke honestly.
Oh, but how's the language?
What?
The swearing. I tell you, Ditz, I was disgusted with the swearing. Let's have a listen. Now, we've beeped all the swear words out, but have a listen to Ken Hinckley in the post-match presser.
But to deal with that last moment where the player acknowledges it's hit the post and the AFL in $1 billion industry can wreck seasons for football clubs that work too hard. If I was the AFL, I'd be embarrassed and disappointed in an industry that's so important
as kicking people. Come on, he didn't say any of that.
Oh, that is disgusting.
You're going to get him in trouble.
We don't use language like that down.
You know what made me laugh? That was Ken Hinckley said, I'm not complaining after 5 minutes of complaining.
Oh, yeah. I'm not complaining.
Slightly undermined by all the complaining that he'd just done. Hey, some people are coming out with crazy suggestions. How was you guys had Graham Corns earlier, who suggested this as regards goal umpiring?
There's lots of better ways of doing it, and we can put men on the moon.
I mean, how are you going to goal umpire from the moon? Seriously. Worst suggestion I've ever heard.
You'll need a third umpire there.
he is a dead set.
It might be a bit of a delay too, getting the result.
And it didn't cost much money to get that bloke on the moon either.
We've gone to the satellite. Yeah. Hang on,
there's a 3 second delay. Just hang on.
Hey, Dids, it might even still be more efficient. Let's be honest.
That's right.
Hey, and finally, guys, I discovered something quite disturbing about Ruth this morning.
Oh,
and Ditz, you let this one slide. I can't believe it.
What?
Well, when Roo said this morning.
I've had a few leakies in my roof lately too.
You really should use the toilet, Roo.
Yeah. That's
disgusting, mate.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, good on you, Lebo.
See you, Lebo.
Thanks, Lebo.
Gallywag, Lebo. Ditz.
Who's going to get there first? Eddie's there hovering. Jenkins kicks a goal. They're in front.
Score review. Might have hit the post.
I didn't even look at it, to be honest. I mean, I sort of said, did it or didn't it? And, you know, when they came up with goal, I was probably more worried about, well, what does it mean with a minute and a half to go? What structure do we want? You know, how do we want to marshal the troops in that last little bit? So I haven't seen it, to be honest.
Jenkins is calling his other players in around him as well, so he may believe that it did actually hit the post.
My grandma raised me not to tell fibs. I think it hit the post.
If I was the AFL, I'd be embarrassed and disappointed in an industry that's so important to so many people.
It's snagged. It's clipped it.
You think it has?
Yeah, it just looked like it's clipped real snicker almost.
Okay.
Imagine that happening in 8 weeks.
This is big. It's a goal. Get it. They're in front. Adelaide are in front.
The score review is there to make sure this doesn't happen, and it continues to fail. Someone should be accountable for that, because I'm accountable to winning and losing. Someone should be accountable for that happening.
Roo, Ken Hinckley also said the Crows were too good, deserved to win. Was Ken right to say what he did after the game?
Well, if he knows it definitely hit.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen any footage to say that it definitely hit at this stage. So, look, it's a big call coming out and saying what he did, because you just got to be right when you say it. And based on what's happened in other games, he is definitely right. Mm. And from what he's saying, whether he's talking, it depends what you focus on he's talking about, because the camera angles aren't good enough in general, are they, in other games to always make it conclusive. So what he could be talking about in general. If he's talking about that incident, well, I'm not sure if he was right.
So as a Port Adelaide person, I'm sitting there calling the game, and you know what? I didn't have an issue with it myself, because I couldn't tell whether it hit the post or not. So I'm sitting there saying, well, you go with the goal umpire. And that's me as a Port person. I mean, I desperately wanted to win the game. I sat there and I thought, look, you know, they're the rules. The goal umpire thinks it's a goal, so for me it's a goal.
Mm.
But where Ken Hinckley's coming from, he's right. He went on to say, look, it costs people careers and his job. I mean, if Port don't make finals or whatever, it's very important. Roo, everyone had a suggestion over the weekend watching the footy shows. What about the hotspot we see in cricket?
Yeah.
Why can't we have that?
I don't know. That seems to work. Surely the AFL are looking at all these things, or have looked at it, I should say. They shouldn't be looking at it, because it's been in for 5 or 6 years, this thing. Just get it right. But if it's going to cost like $100 million or something stupid to put whatever you need to do in every ground where football's played, then I don't think we should be wasting that much money.
But it wouldn't cost that because cricket are using it. However, you've got to do it times nine grounds
because
posts, grounds are shared.
The size of the posts and all that sort of stuff. But cricket does it.
It can't be. The cost can't be prohibitive. Mm. But anyway, let's focus on the good things, right? Great game. And amazing that Josh Jenkins was the man of the moment because I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought his first half was really, really good. And in fact, some people had him rated as best on ground. Crows for the second week in a row, really good start. I mean, they got the first three goals, and same as what they did against Melbourne, they just jumped out the blocks. Then Port came back really hard and played really well. I thought Sloane's first half was really fantastic, and then I think Ebert did a good job on him in the second half to minimise his influence, even though he kicked a really important goal. I thought Polak was really dangerous again, in the first half, and then they shut him down. Kane Farrell getting three goals in the first quarter, just would have never thought that was going to happen. They got three good goals out of him. Robbie Gray, awesome. I thought Luke Brown actually played really well on him. but Robbie Gray is just so good that there's just some things you can't stop when Robbie Gray turns it on. Dixon was held goalless by Talia. Westhoff and Watts didn't get any goals out of their forward line. So I think that an issue for Port going into finals is their ability to score enough without Robbie Gray having a big day out. But their goal kicking was, you know, the point of difference between the Crows and Port was Port kicked straight, the Crows didn't. Crows had plenty of opportunities but couldn't put it on the scoreboard. Mm. So that's why it was a really close game. It was a great game. There was heaps of good players. You know, some people had Josh Jenkins best on ground. Some had Robbie Gray. Some had Bryce Gibbs. I think Dale Lewis picked Bryce Gibbs as the best on ground. Voting for it, I sent it out on Twitter yesterday, Dits. Why do people doing the votes like Louis or whatever have to vote at the 20-25 minute mark instead of after the game? Mm. It wouldn't have changed the votes on the weekend for me because I thought Robbie Gray was a fair winner anyway, but it is stupid. Why wouldn't you text it after the siren?
Just text it through.
After
to a
the
central
siren
number.
When you've seen what can happen.
Yeah.
But great showdown. It does mean that Port Adelaide need to win at least one of the next three games to get into the finals.
Yep.
I mean, they could be top four.
And that's West Coast, Collingwood, Essendon, all tough games.
They are. And Crows need to win all three and have some luck just to sneak into that.
But just can I make a final point, Roo? When something happens like the Josh Jenkins thing, I think you have to walk away as well realistically and say, I could point to 20 other things that happened in the game that I think cost us the game.
Oh, of course, and that's what coaches do.
Yeah, you've got to look at the last big moment
of the game.
Or if there's one shocking decision in the last minute, you'd say to yourself, well, if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be just two points beyond.
That's how coaches review it. And if Jenkins thing was given a point, right, there's still 2 or 3 minutes left in the game. Anything could have happened. And then even with it being a goal, Atkins still had a shot after the siren. Yeah. He might have put more effort into it.
A lot of emotion comes into these things. But look, great game. We've had two incredible showdowns this year.
Yep, absolutely.
Ruined it's here on. And by the way, I know, look, we've glossed over it just for now because I know you're still doing some work on this.
I just need to make one more phone call.
Roo has actually got some breaking news out of this story.
Yep.
Which we'll get to, well, as soon as we can, but stay with us. Roo's got big news on it. Time to go to the phones, I reckon.
Yep, sure is.
Our Monday phone in.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, this is JK.
JK.
Is that you, Jahangir Khan?
Is that the big red cap?
Yeah, it's me. How you going?
Hey, that's right. I'm going very well. We need to catch up, you know. I've not seen you for a long time. I'm calling from Pakistan.
Yeah, no, good. How's things in Karachi?
Karachi is good, you know, but I hear from Karachi. Are you barrack for Port Adelaide?
Pardon?
You barrack for Port Adelaide.
I do barrack for Port Adelaide, yeah.
Yeah, you work with the kangaroo. He barracks for the crow?
Yeah. Crow. Yeah, they like crows, yeah.
Yeah, they beat you.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I didn't need reminding of that this morning. Thank you. Yeah. Is that it? That was all you rang to tell me, was it? Righto. Thanks, JK.
You're a little bit great, guys.
Righto. See you, JK. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hey, g'day, boys. Good to hear Jahangir Khan there all the way from Karachi. Yeah. He was a good player, wasn't he?
Who's this?
Yeah.
It's Murray on the Murray.
Hey, Murray. He's talking a bit faster today, Murray.
Yeah, you up and about.
Yeah, well. You know, look, I had a quiet weekend. I only had a couple of drinks with the Whisperer up here.
Who's the Whisperer?
Why do you call him that?
Well, he never shouts.
The Whisperer.
You,
You you did a good job on the boundary there, Roo. I saw you down there on the telly, and they only put that you had the best and fairest three times for the Crows, and they didn't put the thing on that you actually won the Brownlow.
Oh, right. Okay.
They short changed.
I'll get back to Fox on that.
Yeah, three times best and fairest. And yeah, they had your little head down there on the screen as well. You looked like a sort of thumb with a beard.
It was awesome. What about eight-time All-Australian? Yeah. Didn't they put that on there?
No, they didn't put that there either. Anyway, I'm not ringing up for an argument.
No, I'd say ripped off, Roo.
Mm.
Yeah, of course, we like nicknames up here. You know, for Solo, down at Collingwood, you know what his nickname is?
No, what is it?
It's Do-Re-Me.
Why is that?
Do-Re-Me.
Ah, Solo.
That's true. And so I'm ringing up.
That's one of the smartest ones I've heard.
Yeah, well, I'm just ringing up. The Whisper up here, the Whisper reckons that, you know, Daniel Talia.
Yeah. Is
it true? They reckon his nickname's Jenny. Is it right?
Oh, Genitalia.
Yeah, I think
righto, Muzz. Right. Any others for us, Muzz, or not?
No, that's it, boys.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Muzz. He did sound upbeat today, didn't he?
Yeah. I didn't know he was a Crow supporter. Hello, good morning.
Hello, boys.
Tex.
Oh, Tex.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty good game. But, you know, we didn't actually win it, did we?
Yeah, you did win.
What do you mean?
Of course you did.
Well, I think they hit the post, didn't it?
Well, I'm about to tell you something about that very shortly, Tex.
So, I don't know. But what did you think of my blue boots?
I didn't realise you had blue boots on, to be quite honest. I was more looking at your hands.
And get too many kicks, so I wouldn't mind noticing.
I went to pick up the ball. I put them on because I thought they'd match my eyes. And
match your eyes?
Yeah, I thought they looked good, but I sort of clashed with the socks, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Righto.
Just concentrate on playing.
Anyway, this Australian couple, they go to England, and they're at a restaurant, and the waiter says, "What do you want?" And the bloke says, "I'll have the biggest steak you got." And the pommy waiter said, "What about the mad cow?" And the Australian said, "Oh, no, she's right. She normally has the fish."
Righto, Tex. A bit sexist this morning, Tex. Right, we've got time for one more call before the news. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Who's that?
Is Roo there?
Yes, I am, Helen.
Hello, Roo. It's Helen from Hindley Street.
How are you, love?
Could you please ask Christopher if he lost his voice during the football call?
Did you lose your voice on the weekend?
I actually did. I was shouting so much in the last quarter, I did lose my voice.
He did lose his voice, Helen.
Tell him that he can come down and I'll give him a rub with some Vicks vapor rub.
He'll get the Vicks out. She said that she'll give you some rub with some Vicks.
Yeah, I was listening. Why can't you talk to me direct, Helen? What's going on here?
Goodbye, boys.
Oh, geez, she's giving me the big A.
You know what's happened?
What?
Helen got another spray from your wife, Kate.
Kate's been all over Helen. She's not happy. Oh, gee. For those listening, Kate's run into Helen twice in the last couple of months, and it's been ugly, I can tell you.
Really?
Oh, it's been embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, protective wife. Ugh. We've been teasing this all morning that you've been on the phone in between the breaks just trying to verify something.
Well,
you've got a definitive answer on what happened with the Josh Jenkins kick. What happened yesterday?
What information I have got is that I spoke to Josh Jenkins, and he said in his grab, which we can listen to now if we think we need to.
This is after the game.
This is after the game. Let's have a listen to him on Fox.
Perhaps not. Maybe my eyes were deceiving me, but at the time I thought it did, and evidence suggests maybe it didn't, so I guess we'll never know.
That was on Channel 7, but he said after the game that he think it... It hit the post.
He said, "I think it hit the post."
Yeah, my grandma told me not to lie. I think it hit the post.
Right.
So I rang him and said, "Did you see it hit the post?" He said, "No."
Hmm.
He thought it hit the post.
So when did you talk to him yesterday?
Yesterday afternoon.
Right.
And he was quite clear that, you know, he thought it hit the post. He didn't see it hit the post.
Right.
And now he actually doesn't believe it hit the post.
Now, what has he done research-wise?
Well, I've just spoke to the guy at Fox as well, who they've looked at every camera angle. They cannot see it hit the post in any camera angle.
Right.
The bloke who did the score review, who they've spoke to as well, said no matter what angle they look at, they can't see that it definitely hit the post either.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one single person that has come forward anywhere and said that it hit the post.
And I'm led to believe...
Biggles did in Triple M, but Biggles was guessing.
Yeah. Josh Jenkins rang Fox himself yesterday, didn't he?
I think he's got some contacts in the media, yeah. So,
because he wanted to get to the bottom of it himself.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And I think he got it wrong. He did. He said he thought it hit it. I think it hit it.
All right. So what we can take out of this from now is that he's confident that, in fact, it didn't hit the post.
He might have got it wrong, yeah.
And you've spoken to Fox yourself this morning.
And they don't think it hit it. The bloke who did the score review doesn't think it hit it.
Right.
There's no conclusive evidence anywhere to say that it actually hit.
Right. So that, to me, actually puts it to bed forever. That for anyone that was upset or angry at the time.
Some people will say, yeah, but we still haven't got the best angles possible. And we still
can't
100% put it to that. And I agree with that.
Yep.
But at this stage, no one has actually said and put their hand up and said, I saw it hit the post.
Mm. All right, good detective work, Roy.
Which does make, if it didn't hit the post, does make Cannon look a little bit silly, doesn't it?
No, spur of the moment. Look, I thought he had every right to be angry. I can see why.
Did he come out and say it or not?
Well, all right, we can debate that. But, you know, look, I can't accuse anyone of that because I'm a bit hot-headed.
Yeah.
Spur of the moment, you get angry and you wanted to win the game.
Mm.
There's no doubt. Look, one thing he said is the AFL's got to get better at this, and they do.
Yep.
We definitely, it needs to be conclusive. On the spot.
Because everyone says that you wouldn't want that to happen in 8 weeks' time. Well, Ken said that you wouldn't want that to happen in 8 weeks' time. We know that in the A-League grand final, the only goal that was scored in that was
they got it wrong, and they
incorrect,
have video,
wasn't it?
Yeah, they have video replays.
So their grand final was decided inaccurately by goal review, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So we're a long way from getting it right, you would think.
Yep.
All right, good on you, Roo. In a moment, we're going to talk to the Cabs Association. Feeling more sorry and more sorry on a daily basis for our cab drivers. We'll tell you why in just a moment. Ruined, it's on Triple M. We've been teasing this all morning that you've been on the phone in between the breaks just trying to verify something.
Well,
you've got a definitive answer on what happened with the Josh Jenkins kick. What happened yesterday?
What information I have got is that... I spoke to Josh Jenkins, and he said in his grab, which we can listen to now if we think we need to.
This is after the game.
This is after the game. Let's have a listen to him on Fox.
Perhaps not. Maybe my eyes were deceiving me, but at the time I thought it did, and evidence suggests maybe it didn't, so I guess we'll never know.
That was on Channel 7, but he said after the game that he think it... It hit the post.
He said, I think it hit the post.
Yeah, my grandma told me not to lie. I think it hit the post.
Right.
So I rang him and said, did you see it hit the post? He said, no.
Hmm.
He thought it hit the post.
So when did you talk to him yesterday?
Yesterday afternoon.
Right.
And he was quite clear that, you know, he thought it hit the post. He didn't see it hit the post.
Right.
And now he actually doesn't believe it hit the post.
Now, what has he done research-wise?
Well, I've just spoke to the guy at Fox as well, who they've looked at every camera angle. They cannot see it hit the post in any camera angle.
Right.
The bloke who did the score review, who they've spoke to as well, said no matter what angle they look at, they can't see that it definitely hit the post either.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one single person that has come forward anywhere and said that it hit the post.
And I'm led to believe...
Biggles did in Triple M, but Biggles was guessing.
Yeah. Josh Jenkins rang Fox himself yesterday, didn't he?
I think he's got some contacts in the media, yeah. So,
because he wanted to get to the bottom of it himself.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And I think he got it wrong. He did. He said he thought it hit it. I think it hit it.
All right. So what we can take out of this from now is that he's confident that, in fact, it didn't hit the post.
He might have got it wrong, yeah.
And you've spoken to Fox yourself this morning. And
they don't think it hit it. The bloke who did the score review doesn't think it hit it.
Right.
There's no conclusive evidence anywhere to say that it actually hit.
Right. So that, to me, actually puts it to bed forever. That for anyone that was upset or angry at the time.
Some people will say, yeah, but we still haven't got the best angles possible. And we still can't 100% put it to that. And I agree with that.
Yep.
But at this stage, no one has actually said and put their hand up and said, I saw it hit the post.
Mm. All right. Good detective work, Roy.
Which does make, if it didn't hit the post, does make Cannon look a little bit silly, doesn't it?
No, spur of the moment. Look, I thought he had every right to be angry. I can see why.
Did he come out and say it or not?
Well, all right, we can debate that. But, you know, look, I can't accuse anyone of that because I'm the same. I'm a bit hot-headed.
Yeah.
Spur of the moment, you get angry and you wanted to win the game.
Mm.
There's no doubt. Look, one thing he said is the AFL's got to get better at this, and they do.
Yep.
It needs to be conclusive on the spot.
Because everyone says that you wouldn't want that to happen in 8 weeks' time. Well, Ken said that you wouldn't want that to happen in 8 weeks' time. We know that in the A-League grand final, the only goal that was scored in that was
they got it wrong, and they
incorrect,
have video.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, they have video replays.
So their grand final was decided inaccurately by goal review, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So we're a long way from getting it right, you would think.
Yep.
All right, good on you, Roo. In a moment, we're going to talk to the Cabs Association, feeling more sorry and more sorry on a daily basis for our cab drivers. We'll tell you why in just a moment. Roo and Ditts on Triple M. Hey, Roo, reading over the weekend, very serious topic, and I feel for our cab drivers. I have for a long time. Now, I can't be hypocritical. I have to admit I use Uber. I did over the weekend, but I've used cabs as well over the weekend. I use both, whatever's more convenient for me at the time.
Yep.
If there aren't any cabs around, like I rang a cab company on the weekend, it was going to be a long, long wait, so I get an Uber. So you do what's convenient at the time.
Yep.
What I'm increasingly more and more each day feeling sorry for with the cab drivers is the fact that I read a story about a Melbourne cabbie who came out from Syria in the 70s with his wife and worked hard, worked three jobs. His wife did as well. They saved so much money.
Mm-hmm.
They bought one taxi plate, then another, and ended up with five. And
the
they
taxi
were worth,
plates.
Yeah, the plates. And they were worth $1 million each at one stage. And now
they're an actual asset.
So they've worked hard to get into that position.
Yep.
And now apparently they're worth nothing because of what's happened with Uber. And now we know there are other driving companies coming
so
out.
So
they
hit $1 million.
That's what it said in Melbourne.
Plate, or you mean the five plates totaled worth a million?
It said per plate.
$1 million.
Let's find out more about this. The president of the Taxi Council here in South Australia is Steve Savas. He joins us now. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Steve, moving forward here, I do feel for the plight of cab drivers. What are you going to be able to do about this? Because we know that there are many, many hardworking families in South Australia that bought taxi plates a long time ago. Are they going to be worthless? What's going to happen in the future?
I don't think they're going to be worthless here. There is still a basic value to them. But our biggest concern is that, I mean, we welcome competition as a market, providing the new operators or newcomers operate under the same rules that apply to everybody else. One of our most important aspects of the taxi industry is ensuring safety of passengers and drivers.
Yeah.
And all our drivers here are accredited. All taxi vehicles have passed stringent roadworthy tests, and all our taxi companies meet government safety regulations. So our taxis are filled with GPS tracking devices and security cameras. So we're really out to protect our drivers and our customers and provide the best service we can provide.
What at the height of the plate's value, what were they for a taxi and what are they now in South Australia?
Ballpark figure, they were between three and four here. Now they're sitting around 80 to 100 mark.
So
that's a fair drop though, Steve, isn't it? That means a lot of money to a lot of people.
A quarter of what they were worth, basically.
Well, there's a lot of guys in the industry that have been in there since a long, long time, you know, 40 to 50 years. They use that as their superannuation.
Yeah.
That was going to be their retirement. I mean, the follow-on to that is when they do stop working and they lease their plates out, the lease values aren't as high as what they used to be. So they're living in a bit of poverty in their years of retirement where they've been working hard all their life.
So are you talking to the government right now about that sort of situation? What can be done about it?
Every day we're talking about them. Yeah.
Steve, I don't want to get too personal here with our drivers, you know, to talk about earnings and things like that, but I actually do feel for taxi drivers. I think they do long, long hours for not great reward. How can we change that situation?
That's true. We just have to ask for the public support to help, you know, to use taxis. We don't flare our fares as far as some of the new rideshare people. They comes a busy night and they just double, triple their fares. We don't do that. We just keep them at our regulated fare structure.
Mm.
And just ask for the support from the public and hope we can keep putting on the service that we've been doing since day one.
All right, Steve, thanks for joining us this morning.
Lovely.
As I said, I feel for the cab drivers moving forward. Steve Savis is the president of the Taxi Council of South Australia. Roo, it's funny, I can compare over the weekend because I did catch both.
Mm.
How's this, right? On Friday night, I pressed my button for an Uber, a Lexus SUV pulled up, the most luxurious car I've been in years. It was beautiful, except for my Jag, of course, the Jag that I'm driving from Solitaire. No, seriously, it's important to point that out. My own Solitaire car is very luxurious.
Yeah, we got that.
But I'm talking about, you know, when you get picked up by a taxi or something, right? I get in the car and this bloke's got the latest Lexus. It was luxurious.
Uber.
Yeah, I said, mate, you're driving this around as like an Uber car. He said, well, I do this just on weekends. I love my car and I keep it in good
That's
shape.
People like Uber.
It was beautiful. I think, Roo, and this has been said before, but what has to happen is taxis probably have to lift their game, because I got into a cab on the weekend with my wife and I reckon someone had chucked in it, to be honest. It was awful. It was dirty. I didn't enjoy the experience. Now, that's one cab. That's not cabs across the board, but that was my isolated incident. If I'm to compare the two experiences I had on the weekend.
Mm.
So,
unfortunately, it's easy to see why their plates have dropped down in value with competition, hasn't it? It's unfortunate because all those people we're talking about have been working for 20, 30, 40 years, and it's very sad for those people.
All right. So with what Steve just said, when you're a cab driver, you have to be insured. You pay for your plates, all of those things. Should our government bring this in for Uber as well and say, well, you've got to, if you want to be a passenger vehicle on the road, you've got to pay all the same rates and penalties.
You've got all those arguments, tits with Airbnb, like Uber. You know, there's all the new industries that come in. I think it's just bad luck, isn't it?
See, the other thing is, if I compare the price, and again, I'm sorry to be negative here to the cab drivers, but my Uber experience cost half the money.
Half the money?
Yeah, to go where I live, it's almost half.
Really?
Mm. So it's a big difference.
You get 10 free rides, you get to Harndorff.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. Not at all. So I'm praising both sides of it here. So
you look like you're sort of starting to lean to the Uber side.
Well, only inconvenient times a little bit. No.
Quality of car and cost.
Mm.
You've both been quite clear on that.
Mm.
You're now an Uber fan.
All right. I'd like to hear from the cab drivers this morning. How hard is it? 133353. How tough is it out there at the moment? And like I said, when I read this story of this.
Well, do people feel sorry for the cabbies? Or have they had bad experience like you getting in one that smells like it's had chuck in it?
I mean, that could probably happen in an Uber car as well, but it just happened to us on the weekend.
Mm.
133353. Tell us what you think about the cabbies at the moment. And, you know, a discussion we had here in our meeting this morning, someone made a very good point. You know, I think this is a good comparison to talk about, but, you know, Blockbuster Video, if you owned one of those, you had to see the writing on the wall that videos were going to be the thing of the past.
Yeah, we
no longer have video stores on every corner, do we?
No, because it's too easy
to watch Netflix now or you know, movies on Fox or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the world's changing.
You've got to change with the times, don't you? When competition comes in, you've got to, you know, freshen up. We are asking about cabs v Uber. Do we feel for our cab drivers at the moment, Roo?
Well, I do, but things change, don't they? Let's go to Seaton. G'day, Paul.
G'day, guys. Hi.
Yeah, what's your situation? You're a taxi driver.
Yes, yeah, I've been one for 20 years. I used to own a taxi a long time ago. I had a Statesman Caprice.
Yep.
But I got out of the industry because I could smell the rot setting in.
Really?
So you sold
your plate at the good price, did you?
Oh, no, I didn't. I leased the plate. I owned the car.
Right.
I got out of that game, and I got into commission work. And now it's an emotional thing because, you know,
to make it quick, Paul, we haven't got too long, mate. Make it quick.
Oh, sorry. Yep. No. So, okay. Basically, okay. Cabbies. I once had a dust on my car. A passenger transport board inspector came along, rubbed his finger across my car and gave me a $125 fine.
Yep.
So that happens on a regular basis, does it? They're checked for
absolutely.
That sort of thing.
Absolutely. I once made a mistake in my paperwork. I got a $425 fine.
Mm. All right.
You know, and I make $11 an hour on commission, and apparently I don't even own the air in the tyres, and apparently I'm self-employed. I have no invested interest in the taxi, but they still charge me
All right.
Sounds thanks, like Paul. Got
a 11 few... bucks an hour. You can't. It's pretty hard to live on that, Roo. We got some drivers on the line from both Uber and taxi drivers.
Let's go to Beverly. G'day, David.
G'day, Roo. How are you, mate?
Very well.
I'm an Uber driver.
Yep.
We also have to have insurance. We also have to have our vehicle inspected.
Yep.
Like I said before, when we pick up passengers, we don't handle any money at all. It goes straight off the credit card. They know how much the fare is.
Yep.
Biggest qualm I get from passengers is that, example, a $23.50 fare, the guy passes over $25 and the taxi driver says, looks at him and says, are you going to give me the $1.50 tip? That's the answer. That's the question I get all the time. I carry people.
Yeah, and okay.
It's just the mentality, and I'm not saying bad, but the taxi drivers, if they have embraced it with everything, there'd be no crime at all. Absolutely no crime at all.
All right, mate. Thanks for your call, Dave. Let's go to Morphavale. G'day, Roman.
Yeah, mate. Hello?
yeah, you're on. Buddy.
Yeah, I just heard that Uber driver, like he can make all his comments he wants about taxi drivers, but, you know...
You're a taxi driver, are you, Roman?
Yeah. I'd rather die and go to hell than be a dog and drive an Uber.
Hang on. You can't say that.
I mean, that's the case. It's unjust. I mean, we all know it, and
know what?
Change coming, and it's all change. It's not about change. It's about one company operates. It says that they have to pay for insurance. It costs $6,000 a year to insure a taxi, and you have to do it. You don't have to pay that much to insure an Uber. A taxi needs to make $850 a week before fuel. That's without fuel. It has to make $850 a week before it starts making a profit. Mm. So it has to have, if it's got a one driver, 50-50 shift, has to take $1,700 on the meter before it's even making a profit for the person who operates the cab.
Mm.
And Uber's nowhere near that. And the reason is because all the regulation doesn't apply. And the decade before Uber came along, it was all about regulation, tightening it up on taxis, making it more and more regulation. It went on for about a decade. And then all of a sudden, the government just went, bang, oh, Uber's legal. And on top of that, when Stephen Mulligan said about the airport and the Uber rank, he said, oh, we didn't know what the airport had to do with Uber. Oh, we didn't know. They were building this Uber rank here for about 5 months at Adelaide Airport, and the state transport minister says in public, oh, we didn't know what they were building at the Adelaide Airport. Anyone who believes that has got their head in a place where it shouldn't be.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Roman. Pretty outspoken there. One more call we've got time for, Roo.
Let's go to Hallett Cove. G'day, Pablo.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Are you a taxi driver, an Uber driver?
No, I'm an Uber driver. Today, like, you know, we're going to be on strike. Just letting you know and let the...
When are you on strike?
Yeah, we're going to be on strike today from until at 7 to 9:30.
What, tonight? Just,
no, this this morning.
7 a.m. to 9:30 a.m.
Yeah, yes.
And what's the reason? Why are you going on strike?
Well, just for extremely low fares. Yes, our service, I believe, it's 100% much, much better than cab drivers.
So you're striking against whoever owns Uber?
No, I'm not striking against whoever owns Uber. We're striking against Uber, to be honest with you, because of the very low fares.
For us to make
$1,000 for a week.
Yeah,
we have to drive about 100 hours. With anyone in this planet, we'll go and work $1,000 for 100 hours of working.
Mm. Yeah,
not a good decision.
I don't think so, guys.
All right, Pablo.
Yes. All right, thanks, Pablo. Sorry, but we are running really late for our news. So both sides of the story there. We're both saying that it's pretty hard.
Sounds like there's too many taxi drivers and too many Uber drivers to me.
Yeah, it could be.
Might be flooded the market.
Yeah, well done, Roo. Ruined it's on Triple M.
Now, Chris, during the week, Roo took you out for a coaching lesson. What was he like? Is he a good coach?
Oh, mate, he's a bloody ripper coach.
Okay. Now, have you made a decision? How far are you kicking from?
I'm going from 20 metres, mate, for 20 grand.
All right, 20 metres for 20 grand now. You got a great target behind the goals there, Chris. You can see Tony Modra there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if we can lace him out. All right, you ready?
Let's get behind
everyone,
him, everyone,
behind
for $20,000.
He's kicking for $20,000 cash. Put it through, Chris.
You're guilty!
Well done, Chris. $20,000 cash.
Chris, what are you going to do with the $20,000?
House deposit. Pay it off. Get going. But I'd just like to appreciate Rue, Dits, giving me this opportunity. They've been great. The Triple M team, Alice the Wag, all the boys. You've done great, guys. You've done great.
Well done, Chris.
There you go. Now, he's on the line this morning. Chris Squire, how are you today on this Monday morning?
Oh, boys, I'm over the moon. How are you, gentlemen?
Yeah, you still got your 20 grand?
I do.
You didn't go to the casino? You didn't? But all of a sudden that you're a professional gambler or anything?
No, I went there and spent $20 on roulette.
$20. Oh, that's good. Better than 20 grand.
All right.
1%. That's it.
All right. Now, we spoke to your dad the other day as well. He was deciding whether he played golf or go to the Oval and watch you kick. What did he do?
He come down. He was there.
Yeah.
Good.
He was loving it.
I thought you were a bit cheeky wearing a port jumper. Nah, well done, mate. And you are going to go and put that down as a deposit on a house, are you?
Yeah, I reckon I am. I'm going to save a bit more. Yep. I'm doing my truck license today, actually. And, going to pay for that and a few more tickets and, start saving for a house, actually.
All right, Chris. Well done, mate.
We've enjoyed meeting you. You're a good lad and you did well. Well done, mate.
Thanks, boys. I really appreciate it.
Good on you, mate.
He's a great lad,
He's
Rue.
A good lad, Dits. Got his head screwed on and a good old man as well. So a good winner for the $40,000 kick for cash.
Yep.
You haven't missed Rue and Dits, so don't miss SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park. Tickets at thebend.com.au.